and NBA free agency opened up at midnight last night. To talk more about that, we're joined on the phone by our friend Sean Devaney of the Sporting News. Sean, how are you this afternoon?
I'm doing well, Rich. How are you?
Good, thanks. Now, I know Greg Popovich didn't stay up, but have you been up since midnight?
I probably went to bed at 3, so I'm considered well-rested, I guess, according to some of my brethren who probably didn't sleep at all last night.
Well, let's talk about some of the early signings and early winners. It's a good day to be Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a big surprise. You kind of knew that that the Pelicans were going to step up and give him the max. You know, I know it's $145 million is what's been reported. We won't know exactly what the number is until we know what the cap number is for next year. That's the way that deal is structured. So it could wind up being even more than that in the end. So, yeah, very good day for him and also a good day for the Pelicans because, you know, he's such a big part of their future and what they want to do going forward.
Kevin Love, as he's been saying all along and everybody hinted back in Cleveland, was there ever any doubt that he'd return to the Cavs?
No, I didn't really have any doubt. I did think he might have taken the 1 year option, but once that went by the wayside and he opted in, then it was clear that they were going to keep him and they were going to try to sign him long term. Again, I thought that he might have been willing to take a shorter contract in order to get to free agency faster, but he takes a full 5 years, and so. You know, now the Cavs will have to sort it all out because they're also re-signing Tristan Thompson. And, of course, you know, he's a guy who showed he probably should be a starter in this league. So, you know, there's a lot to figure out there for Cleveland in terms of their front court. You could eventually see Kevin Love on the trade market down the road. But for now, you know, they're going to have really as deep a front court as any team in the league.
Now, the Celtics have dipped their toes in the water. No big names, but they did get one of their own, re-signing Jonas Jerebko, and then apparently have signed Amir Johnson as well. What does he bring to the table for them?
Well, you know, Amir is a very good defensive player, you know, sort of limited offensively, you know, has done quite a bit to improve offensively, so he's not nearly as bad as when he first came into the league, you know, when he was a young kid out of high school, but now he's developed, you know, some offensive skills. He's not great offensively, but he can certainly come in and be a high caliber defensive player, you know, protecting the paint, very athletic, you know, for a guy his size, you know, at 6'10 or so, he could jump out of the gym. So you know, he's going to be a very interesting guy to keep an eye on. Also, they keep Jonas Jerebko, and of course, he's you know, we saw what he could do as far as coming off the bench and being a defensive stopper on the perimeter. So, you know, I think these two signings combined, you know, will really have an impact. It might not be the highest profile guys, obviously, but I think they'll have an impact certainly on the defensive end in terms of what the Celtics want to do.
Our friend Bob Ryan of the Boston Globe was saying yesterday that Boston's not the destination that it used to be for NBA free agents. And he said these are young guys. All the banners don't mean anything. The history of the team and the city means nothing to these guys. So what are the big factors outside of money, obviously? What are the factors that play into these free agent decisions?
Well, you know, a lot of times it's market and you know, what kind of recognition you're going to get. A lot of times it's weather. That's it would be crazy not to acknowledge that guys like living in LA, they like living in Phoenix, they like living in Miami. That's certainly part of it. But yeah, you know, I mean, it starts with money. It starts with the chance to win. You know, those are the two things. And then when you get down below that, it really is more about the comfort level, you know, family situation, things like that. You know, I think all of that winds up factoring in for a lot of these guys.
We're talking with Sean Devaney of the Sporting News, NBA free agency underway. Who are a couple of the next big names that may well sign?
Well, you know, LaMarcus Aldridge is the guy that everybody's watching, you know, and he's the big name that's out there. It looks like he could wind up with the Spurs, which would, you know, really just be a tough situation for the rest of the Western Conference because, you know, that would create a situation much like you saw in San Antonio 15 years ago, where David Robinson welcomed in Tim Duncan and sort of passed the baton to him. You could have that same sort of situation with Tim Duncan, retiring soon in the next couple of years, and sort of passing the baton to LaMarcus Aldridge. So he's probably the next big guy. He has met with the Lakers, expected to meet with Dallas as well. There's a chance he goes back to Portland, but it looks like the Spurs are probably the front runner there. DeAndre Jordan is the other guy. Dallas has met with him all last night and met with him again today. He'll also meet with the Lakers, and there's a pretty good chance he could stay with the Clippers as well. So those are the two big guys who are still left, and then everybody else you figure will sort of fall in around those two.
I see that Rajon Rondo's people are taking meetings. How much damage has he done to his value in the open market?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is not where he was supposed to be. There's no question that he thought in the summer of 2015 he'd be wined and dined, and the Lakers would want him, and the Knicks would want him, and that was the expectation. But certainly with everything that happened in Dallas, I don't think he's ever really come back 100% from that knee injury. And when you put all those things together, sort of the bad reputation and the fact that his play dipped as far as it did last season, it really couldn't have gone much worse for Rondo. This is not what he expected at this time last year.
Now, what's the situation going to end up being out with Sacramento and Cousins? Ownership doesn't want to move him. George Karl wants him out of there. Do you see anything happening in the next few weeks?
No, if anything happens, it's probably going to be George Karl getting fired, although I don't think that they want that. I think that you're going to have a situation where all the sides are going to have to get into a room and sit down, and whether it's Cousins himself or Cousins' agent, they're going to have to sit down with the owner, with Vlade Divac, the general manager now, and George Karl, and kind of see what they can hammer out. If they can't hammer anything out, then okay, then you're going to have to start making some changes, whether it's trading Cousins, which I don't think they'll do. More likely they would fire Karl and try to get a new coach from there. There's been talk about John Calipari. That's probably a long shot on that one, but they'll probably wind up looking for a new coach before they would trade DeMarcus Cousins, but they're still hopeful that they can maybe work that out or at least give it one more chance before they completely give up on it. Don't forget, George Karl has only been there for less than half a season, so kind of not something you want to do is to go through and find a way to go through a coach that quickly. That's not something the Kings really want.
Shauna, I loved your tweet earlier today comparing coverage of free agency in the NBA to Major League Baseball free agency.
Yeah, I make a lot of phone calls and I talk to a lot of guys, but I do it from my couch, and it's not like in baseball where you go to the these hotels and they have their winter meetings, and you're chasing, you're running around, and you're going to figuring out who's in what room and staking out the rooms, and it's kind of demeaning when you have to do that. This way, I like it much better. You kick back and you make some calls and you talk to the people that you know, and you try to figure out what's going on that way, rather than stalking the halls of a hotel, as you have to do in baseball during those winter meetings.
Much more civilized, absolutely. Shauna, we thank
you. I think so.
Great talking with you, as always. Thanks for coming on, and we'll do it again soon, and I hope the couch is comfy.
All right, thanks for having me.
Sean Devaney, the Sporting News, talking basketball here this afternoon.